fatness of lunch versus life. And you know, the first lunch is just like the first life, even if this is the only life we have. So I would argue that they are scalable for the first one. And as you get an opportunity to have more lunches, that doesn't say that it wouldn't be the same scalable process if we had more lives. So that the scalability, I would say, is the same in that sense.
Okay.
And that would mean the criteria would become more flexible, our evidence would become more clear because we have more experience, and we'd have more, you know, if we had more lives, we would have more of these strategies to be able to cope with them. So I would say they are scalable.
So this would argue, if I have understood this, that it might be useful to say that life is lunch.
In certain
I mean, it's a very good lunch.
Yeah. It's very long.
Thank goodness.
Well, as I'm saying, let's make use of this now. So one, whether it's accurate for what you said or not, you could say, well, there's really no point in thinking about the outcomes of life and the evidence and criteria because it's just going to grow anyway. Another argument would be that it is important to think about the outcomes and evidence criteria of life because you can direct it. And taking that you might want to shift it, then you might want to say, well, one of the ways, this is called, not mapping across, but technically it's known as add a resource, would be to take the tote of lunch and apply it to life. So you map one into the other, and you go, okay, so if we did that, if we thought of life as a lunch, then how would that influence your behavior? You know, you go, okay, life is lunch, so I'm going to go for, you know, sensory-based and evidence, and I'm going to have many options here. I'm going to, if I can't get the goal in that way, I'll get the goal in another way. And periodicity, I'm going to think about life as limited in time, and that, you know, I'm going to have a different life later, so I'll do whatever I do now to get the satisfactions in life now, and then later on maybe I'll get them differently. And if you try that on, how does that shift things?
And the other thing too, a lot of people describe their lives in adjectives. I mean, it's very common. I was thinking about it, you know, life stinks.
You know, it's not. He's saying people describe their life in terms of adjectives and metaphors like stinks and it's gross and things like that. They describe particular negative disgust states about life, okay. Sensory based, but the positive are not. You can check it out. I've done this before.
Okay.
Yeah. I have. I'm not. It's like Erickson never asked a question you know the answer to.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's like I don't know all the answers to, but I have thought about this, and I do find out new stuff when I do this.
Yeah.
You know?
So the negatives are the adjectives.
Negative life things that have to do with sensory-based phenomena are done. Yeah.
So they don't say that life is super or outstanding.
Well, you'd say life is sweet is about as strong as it gets, but it's very, very limited. I mean, there it is. You go, yeah.
It smells good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sweet, and that's about the only
that's
one.
Great.
Well, great, you're back up to
novelizations.
Okay. Go ahead.
So if life is a limited time frame.
It is, by the way.
If you have 1,000 years, how many things can you experience? If you have a limited lunch, your lunch actually is if whatever length of time, although you have different lunches,
mm-hmm.
but you could think of them all, everything is lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have many different lunches. Now, with 1,000 years of life, you could have many different lives.
Well, and with 10 years of life, you could. A good friend of mine in Chicago told me something that, on the face of it, I thought was so obvious, but I'd never heard anybody do it before. One day, he sat down and thought, what do I want to do? And he wrote down everything he wanted to do at that time. This was like a decade ago. And wrote down everything he wanted to do while he was alive. And then he said, how much time will each of these take? I mean, you know. So he wanted to learn a Tai Chi, and he wanted to learn it well. How much time will that take? And he wanted to learn how to cook, and how much time will that take? And he wants to program computers. And these are just a few of them, and he had all these things. And he added it up and realized that he needed to live for 250 years. No, no, he's the same age as Bill Clinton, you know, and he's 47. So it was like, you know, in terms of what the idea of utilizing time, excuse me here, what he was doing is utilizing time to confine his criteria. In other words, as a prioritizing, not in any desperate sense, but he's just going, well, on average, nobody in my family's ever lived past like 90, so if I'm going to do it, and there's certain things that are easier to do when you're 40 than they are when you're 80, so, or more enjoyable, whatever it, you know, whatever we want to think about it. So I thought, oh, that's really interesting.
Selecting from the menu.
Right, selecting from the menu, yes.
There's also the Chinese approach to this, which is like dim sum, right, for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a bunch of different things,
mm-hmm.
so you can take it and go the other direction with it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know quite how to articulate what I'm feeling, but it's kind of like, you know, some people will talk about your mind and body like they're separate, but mind and body are part of the same system, and lunch and life, in a way we're talking about them like they're different, but they're not, and life is, you, in a way, I don't think you can really relate lunch to life, because lunch, life, although being a series of lunches and other experiences, is so much more that
watch me now. Yeah, you can relate them, but the question is, what's a worthwhile relationship? Because you're right, I've led you down garden paths in the sense that I created things that were definite, what do they call that, misdirections. So I've been acting as if these are on the same scale. And what Derek is pointing out, just because I drew them on the same, I said they were different scales, and I drew them the same size. Yeah? When in fact, yes, absolutely, if we were to use this embedded tote model, as I spoke about it at the beginning, with the idea of hammering the nail to put the wall up, to do the bathroom, to do the building, to have a house, or the one about values clarification, mixing the cream in the coffee to make the coffees the way you want, to make the meeting more enjoyable, to be alert, to have the meeting, to reach agreement, that we're talking about an idea known as nested totes, so that there are totes inside of totes. I won't try to draw this too completely, but give the idea here. And then these are connected. And then inside this would be nested totes, and so on. All the way down to, you had lunch today in order to be alert and have the focus and ability to do what you were going to do, so that lunch was a very small subtote in a set of processes that enabled you to do other things, and they'll do other things. When we finally get up to the mother of all totes, I'm sorry, I had to do that, which extends right off the page, if you will, and goes up there, which would be life. And that, in fact, they're nested inside of each other. That one doesn't have life in order to have lunch. One has lunch in order to have life. Is that?
It's a feeling, and I'm having trouble getting the words, but I think you just did it.
Now, here's where I get very curious, because I think this is a misunderstanding which is harmful in NLP. Once again, it's not because anybody's doing it intentionally. They've just never thought about it. That's my job. And that is that people tend to think that they can develop a well-formed outcome for lunch, and you can, and you can develop a well-formed outcome for life, but they're not the same. That is that in terms of lunch, it sits inside all these other contexts, that is, of that day and of what you're doing. Whereas life is rather the sum of those rather than a specific criteria and evidence just right there. Now, we'll do it again. I'll flip the page here. That people tend to think that in life you're looking for the outcome and criterion evidence, whereas in fact it's not merely this outcome criterion evidence, but it's also the sum of all of the outcomes and criterias and evidences of all of your life, which would argue for having a very good lunch and relationships and career and all the subtotes, and that the great tote of life is in fact the sum of those and not merely one by itself. And this, I think, is a misunderstanding that we find when we're endeavoring to help people get better outcomes, that a successful career is not just here, but it's the fulfillment of not only where your office is, it's who you work with and what you do and where you're going and how you feel you're participating and all the subtotes, which is a place that we haven't gone so much in the past in terms of outcomes. I have at my home in Chicago a couple of shells I bought at that place on the shore in Brittany. You can do that because they just wash up on the shore. No animals were killed in the design of this lecture. Or no animals were tortured, you know, in the design of this lecture. It was like one, and one of the shells I have is a very smooth shell, like this. It's only about this big, but it's a very smooth shell. And I'm going, this is more how it's being taught in NLP right now. And the other shell I have is one of those, you know, that has all the little stuff coming off of it all over, which to me symbolizes all of these subtotes and sub-possibilities. That is, it's the lunches and the other careers and the different choices and the art and the music we like and the people we visit and all those other things. So that life is all of those things, not merely the smoothness of what do you want to do with your life. Does that make sense? And finally, I would leave you with this, that perhaps all of the goals and desires and directions and criteria and evidences that we have that direct us in life are really artifacts left over on the shell, and that really it's the creature that lived in that shell, like the creature that lives in this body, that is this life, that's really the life. And when we read biographies or stories of famous people, what we're getting is that leftover shell.
And you say you don't deal with spirit.
And it's really the life each of us lives.
Thank you. Right.
So those are my investigations so far into what's the difference between lunch and life. And I hope, if anything, it stimulated you to think about what you do with NLP and what you do with your life in a richer way. If it's done that, then it's been the meal I intended. And I thank you for turning out this evening, offering me this opportunity to share this with you. Thank you.
If you get we operate. Where this what? different. Is it a pop? You get it. In this process. Helper. Now what? Resources on. And put it in. Book believe. This is on. Make some. How do you know something? How do you know? Do you really have? Okay. So. How do you know? Quickest answer. Starting to give me more. Absolutely true. Into. store it. You know you've done. You know you've done. Yeah. Taken where you want. Minnesota. This is congruent. Reality map. Reality map. Making sense. Making sense. And working. Who had a did this and woman or than any things I do. Oh, sure. We're just doing this kind of and then be able to really easy. To add, Mickey, Something.